the ADA expanded on the 504 provisions regarding the employer's obligation to transfer a disabled employee who can no longer perform the essential job functions of the employee's position to another position which is available, vacant, and in which the employee can perform the essential job functions. And for deciding that the 1992 amendment made that possible, they point to footnote 19 in the 1987 Supreme Court decision in School Board of Nassau County versus Arline. This case involved the classroom teacher who was suffering from active tuberculosis. And she was terminated by her employer on the basis that, you know, she just couldn't perform as a classroom teacher because of the danger of exposing the students. The employer did not examine did not proactively examine ways to accommodate her, and it was just simply, the case was simply remanded by the Supreme Court. Yes, this is a disability. Yes, this is a disability protected by Section 504. You need to look at ways to try to accommodate it before you terminate her. And in that footnote 19, the Supreme Court said the employer under 504 is not required to find the employee another job, but the employer cannot deny the employee opportunities to transfer to another position under the employer's generally applicable policies. And some cases have read that as saying, well, the employer did not have the affirmative obligation to proactively seek out a vacant position and offer that to the employee rather than simply allowing the disabled employee to compete for that position. And based on that, they have applied the four-year statute under those circumstances to an ADA claim regarding a failure to transfer to an available position. So this is something that's likely to come up in 504 cases. A four-year statute of limitations is a long statute compared to ADA and Chapter 21. And so in the Admendatus case, there was an unsuccessful effort to say the four-year statute should apply. But that will come up in 504 cases, particularly where it's, you know, makes the difference between being timely under 504 and not under the other possible causes of action. Okay, let's look at claim and issue preclusion. This is an issue that you would think would be well settled by now, but just last month, the Fifth Circuit in Thompson, the Dallas City Attorney's Office, in a colorful opinion written by Judge Willett, formerly Justice on the Texas Supreme Court, renowned for his colorful language, held that res judicata did bar a federal claim in federal court based on federal law where the same discrimination plaintiff had sued in state court under Chapter 21 and whose claim had been dismissed based on limitations. The issue was a dismissal based on limitations a ruling on the merits for res judicata purposes? There were, again, some old Fifth Circuit panel decisions that said, no, that's not a ruling on the merits. There was a supervening U.S. Supreme Court decision that indicates that it is. So the rule of orderliness did not control in that case. And the ruling was that, yes, res judicata applied. Under 28 U.S.C. 1738, the federal courts are required to give the same full faith and credit to state court judgments as the courts of that state would give. So when there is a state court judgment, issue and claim preclusion, to the extent applicable, will apply. The more interesting question is, what about quasi-judicial case findings, such as the findings by an independent hearing examiner in a Chapter 21 case that have not gone all the way to state court and have not been confirmed by a state court judgment? The leading case on that, University of Tennessee versus Elliott, This was one of those sort of nightmarish higher education termination cases. The hearing was conducted by an administrative assistant at the University of Tennessee. It stretched out intermittently for over 5 months. Over 100 witnesses testified. There were over 150 exhibits. The transcript of the testimony was over 5,000 pages long. I've never seen a Chapter 21 case like that. I hope I never do, and you don't either. But in any event, the Supreme Court there was faced with the issue of issue preclusion, where the decision of the administrative assistant was appealed only to university vice president. It could have been further appealed to Tennessee state courts. It was not. And the court then was looked at, well, to what extent is this issue preclusive? Because the administrative assistant specifically found that race, it was a race discrimination case, that race was not a motivating factor in the action taken by the university.